Chapter 24. Dare surveyed it, saying, "Yes, I have seen that before, though I never knew why you wore it. Well, I wear a reminder also, but of a different sort." He threw open his shirt front, and revealed tattooed on his breast the letters Distancy, the same marks which Havil had seen in the bedroom by the light of the moon. The captain rather winced at the sight. "Well, well," he said hastily, "that's enough. Now, at any rate, you understand my objection to no Miss Power." "But, Captain," said the lad coaxingly, as he fastened his shirt, "you forget me, and the good you may do me by marrying? Surely that's a sufficient reason for a change of sentiment. This inexperienced sweet creature owns the castle and estate which bears your name, even to the furniture and pictures. She is the possessor of at least 40,000 a year, how much more I cannot say, while, buried here in Outer Wessex, she lives at the rate of 1,200 in her simplicity." "It is very good of you to set this before me. But I prefer to go on as I am going. Well, I won't bore you any more with her today. A monk in regimentals. 'Tis strange." Dare arose, and was about to open the door, when, looking through the window, Captain Distancy said, "Stop." He had perceived his father, Sir William Distancy, walking among the tombstones without. "Yes, indeed," said Dare, turning the key in the door. "It would look strange if he were to find us here." As the old man seemed indisposed to leave the churchyard just yet, they sat down again. "What a capital card table this green cloth would make," said Dare, as they waited. "You play, Captain, I suppose?" "Very seldom." "The same with me. But as I enjoy a hand of cards with a friend, I don't go unprovided." Saying which, Dare drew a pack from the tail of his coat. "Shall we while away this leisure with the witching things?" "Really, I'd rather not." coaxed the young man, "I am in the humor for it, so don't be unkind." "But, Willie, why do you care for these things? Cards are harmless enough in their way, but I don't like to see you carrying them in your pocket. It isn't good for you." "It was by the merest chance I had them. Now come, just one hand, since we are prisoners. I want to show you how nicely I can play. I won't corrupt you." "Of course not," said Distancy, as if ashamed of what his objection implied. "You are not corrupt enough yourself to do that, I should hope." The cards were dealt, and they began to play Captain Distancy abstractedly, and with his eyes mostly straying out of the window upon the large yew, whose boughs as they moved were distorted by the old green window panes. "It is better than doing nothing," said Dare cheerfully, as the game went on. "I hope you don't dislike it?" "Not if it pleases you," said Distancy listlessly. "And the consecration of this place does not extend further than the aisle wall." "Doesn't it?" said Distancy, as he mechanically played out his cards. "What became of that box of books I sent you with my last check?" "Well, as I hadn't time to read them, and as I knew you would not like them to be wasted, I sold them to a bloke who peruses them from morning till night." "Ah, now you have lost a fiver altogether, how queer. We'll double the stakes. So, as I was saying, just at the time the books came I got an inkling of this important business, and literature went to the wall." "Important business what?" "The capture of this lady, to be sure." Distancy sighed impatiently. "I wish you were less calculating, and had more of the impulse natural to your years." "Game by Jove. You have lost again, Captain. That makes let me see £9.15 to square us. Apostrophe apostrophe, I owe you that? Apostrophe apostrophe, said the Stancy, startled. It is more than I have in cash. I must write another check. Apostrophe, never mind. Make it payable to yourself, and our connection will be quite unsuspected. Apostrophe apostrophe, Captain de Stancy did as requested, and rose from his seat. Sir William, though further off, was still in the churchyard. How can you hesitate for a moment about this girl? Apostrophe apostrophe, said Dare, pointing to the bent figure of the old man. Think of the satisfaction it would be to him to see his son within the family walls again. It should be a religion with you to compass such a legitimate end as this. Apostrophe apostrophe, well, well, I'll think of it, apostrophe, said the captain, with an impatient laugh. You are quite a Mephistopheles, will I say it to my sorrow? Apostrophe apostrophe, would that I were in your place. Apostrophe apostrophe, would that you were. 15 years ago I might have called the chance a magnificent one. Apostrophe apostrophe, but you are a young man still, and you look younger than you are. Nobody knows our relationship, and I am not such a fool as to divulge it. Of course, if through me you reclaim this splendid possession, I should leave it to your feelings what you would do for me. Apostrophe apostrophe, Sir William had by this time cleared out of the churchyard, and the pair emerged from the vestry and departed. Proceeding towards Markton by the same bypath, they presently came to an eminence covered with bushes of blackthorn and tufts of yellowing fern. From this point a good view of the woods and glades about Stancy Castle could be obtained. Dare stood still on the top and stretched out his finger. The captain's eye followed the direction, and he saw above the many-hued foliage in the middle distance the towering keep of Paula's castle. That's the goal of your ambition, Captain Ambition, do I say? Most righteous and dutiful endeavor. How the hoary shape catches the sunlight, it is the race and debtor of the landscape, and its possession is coveted by a thousand hearts. Surely it is an hereditary desire of yours? You must make a point of returning to it, and appearing in the map of the future as in that of the past. I delight in this work of encouraging you, and pushing you forward towards your own. You are really very clever, you know, but I say it with respect, how comes it that you want so much waking up? Apostrophe apostrophe, because I know the day is not so bright as it seems, my boy. However, you make a little mistake. If I care for anything on earth, I do care for that old fortress of my forefathers. I respect so little among the living, that all my reverence is for my own dead. But maneuvering, even for my own, as you call it, is not in my line. It is distasteful, it is positively hateful to me. Apostrophe apostrophe, well, well, let it stand thus for the present. But will you refuse me one little request merely to see her? I'll contrive it, so that she may not see you. Don't refuse me, it is the one thing I ask, and I shall think it hard if you deny me. Apostrophe apostrophe, oh Will. Apostrophe apostrophe, said the captain wearily. Why will you plead so? No, even though your mind is particularly set upon it, I cannot see her or bestow a thought upon her, much as I should like to gratify you. Apostrophe apostrophe, why? When they had parted, Dare walked along towards Markton with resolve on his mouth, and an unscrupulous light in his prominent black eye. Could any person who had heard the previous conversation have seen him now, he would have found little difficulty in divining that, notwithstanding De Stancy's obduracy, the reinstation of Captain De Stancy in the castle, and the possible legitimation and enrichment of himself, was still the dream of his brain. Even should any legal settlement or offspring intervene to nip the extreme development of his projects, there was abundant opportunity for his glorification. Two conditions were imperative. De Stancy must see Paula before Somerset's return. And it was necessary to have help from Havil, even if it involved letting him know all. Whether Havil already knew all was a nice question for Mr. Dare's luminous mind. Havilah had opportunities of reading his secret, particularly on the night they occupied the same room. If so, by revealing it to Paula, Havilah might utterly blast his project for the marriage. Havilah, then, was at all risks to be retained as an ally. Yet Dare would have preferred a stronger check upon his confederate than was afforded by his own knowledge of that anonymous letter and the competition trick. For were the competition lost to him, Havilah would have no further interest in conciliating Miss Power, would as soon as not let her know the secret of Destancy's relation to him. Fortune as usual helped him in his dilemma. Entering Havilah's office, Dare found him sitting there, but the drawings had all disappeared from the boards. The architect held an open letter in his hand. "Well, what news?" said Dare. "Miss Power has returned to the castle, Somerset is detained in London, and the competition is decided," said Havilah, with a glance of quiet dubiousness. "And you have won it?" "No. We are bracketed, it's a tie. The judges say there is no choice between the designs, that they are singularly equal and singularly good. That she would do well to adopt either. Signed so-and-so, fellows of the Royal Institute of British Architects. The result is that she will employ what she personally likes best. It is as if I had spun a sovereign in the air, and it had alighted on its edge. The least false movement will make it tails, the least wise movement heads. Singularly equal. Well, we owe that to our nocturnal visit, which must not be known. Oh Lord, no. Said Havilah apprehensively. Dare felt secure of him at those words. Havilah had much at stake. The slightest rumor of his trick in bringing about the competition would be fatal to Havilah's reputation. The permanent absence of Somerset then is desirable architecturally on your account, matrimonially on mine. Matrimonially? By the way, who was that captain you pointed out to me when the artillery entered the town? Captain Destancy, son of Sir William Destancy. He's the husband. Oh, you needn't look incredulous. It is practicable, but we won't argue that. In the first place, I want him to see her, and to see her in the most love-kindling, passion-begetting circumstances that can be thought of. And he must see her surreptitiously, for he refuses to meet her. Let him see her going to church or chapel. Dare shook his head. Driving out? Commonplace. Walking in the gardens? Ditto. Utter toilet? Ah, if it were possible. Which it hardly is. Well, you had better think it over, and make inquiries about her habits, and as to when she is in a favorable aspect for observation, as the almanacs say. Shortly afterwards Dare took his leave. In the evening he made it his business to sit smoking on the bole of a tree which commanded a view of the upper ward of the castle, and also of the old postern gate, now enlarged and used as a tradesman's entrance. It was 6:30, the dressing bell rang, and Dare saw a light-footed young woman hasten at the sound across the ward from the servants' quarter. A light appeared in a chamber which he knew to be Paula's dressing room, and there it remained 30 minutes, a shadow passing and repassing on the blind in the style of headdress worn by the girl he had previously seen. The dinner bell sounded and the light went out. As yet it was scarcely dark out of doors, and in a few minutes Dare had the satisfaction of seeing the same woman cross the ward, and emerge upon the slope without. This time she was bonneted, and carried a little basket in her hand. A nearer view showed her to be, as he had expected, Millie Birch, Paula's maid, who had friends living in Markton, whom she was in the habit of visiting almost every evening during the 3 hours of leisure which intervened between Paula's retirement from the dressing room and return thither at 10:00. When the young woman had descended the road and passed into the large drive, Dare rose and followed her. "Oh, it is you, Miss Birch," apostrophe said Dare, on overtaking her. "I am glad to have the pleasure of walking by your side." Apostrophe apostrophe, "Yes, sir." "Oh, it's Mr. Dare. We don't see you at the castle now, sir." Apostrophe apostrophe, "No. And do you get a walk like this every evening, when the others are at their busiest?" Apostrophe apostrophe, "Almost every evening. That's the one, return to the poor." Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.